Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, joined by Andrew P. Shea. We'll have Ross Tucker along a little bit later for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. Andy, how are you doing this morning on this rainy, rainy day? Are you all ready to talk some Penn State football to brighten things up?
Let's do it, Jim. 2022 class. Recruiting class is in the books. It's amazing how anticlimactic the second national signing day has become since, you know, how much of a fanfare even 4 or 5 years ago it used to be since that early window kicked in. But you have to say at the end of the day, Penn State, they closed pretty strong and helped, you know, did some things to help themselves at the end of the trail here. So one of, if not the best, James Franklin's recruiting class. So let's talk some Penn State football. I'm ready, sir.
All right. You talked about finishing up the recruiting period. James Franklin, I think, even if he doesn't agree with the early signing period, it's the rule that's in effect.
Right.
So you know he doesn't want drama. He wants this done and taken care of essentially back in December, and he did. There was very little drama there. Here, this final signing period, it was just about cleaning things up a little bit, and there were two names, two commits. First was, no surprise, Tyrese Mills. He was the Lackawanna Junior College safety, and he had to just finish up some academic things, so he couldn't sign in December. So we knew if everything were cleared up, he would probably be signing this week. That took place. I just want to ask you this question, Andy, about him.
Yes.
Is it possible to sign a safety from Lackawanna Junior College and not think about Jaquan Brisker and Jair Brown and think this is the next guy in line?
That's what I think. I absolutely think Tyrese Mills. I remember, you know, following his recruiting in high school, and he was the number one junior college safety prospect that was available. I mean, in terms of junior college, it's kind of, the transfer portal has made it a little bit secondary, but he's a top 10 junior college player that was available. He had a really strong 2021 for the Falcons. He's another Pennsylvania kid. He went to Northeast High School in Philadelphia. So it's a third dip in the well, but I think defensive coordinator, Manny Diaz, he's going to like Jair Brown. He should. And I think Tyrese Mills is going to be part of the equation as they look at the other starting safety position. He's got the experience, and he certainly has the tools and the talent. And, yeah, Penn State fans should actually think, oh, man, we keep dipping into the same well. Yeah, well, and Tyrese looks like the other two kind of when they came out of junior college as well. So I always thought Brisker was the more purely talented of these three. But I think that Tyrese is going to be a factor. I really do.
Hey, he doesn't have to be Jaquan Brisker. I'll settle for another Jair Brown.
Right.
I'd be very happy about it. And I think one other thing that James Franklin mentioned about him, which I think is a great compliment, he talked about his ability to play three positions, meaning both safety positions.
Yep.
And call it what you want, whatever that hybrid is, where you bring in the fifth defensive back, you know, which, like we talk about Jonathan Sutherland making the transition to linebacker. In effect, it's that third position, a safety who could come up into the box and stop the run, correct?
Correct. He absolutely could do that. Because when you're playing pure nickel defense, it's Daquan Hardy that's your nickel back, right? But when you want to play downhill with that third, either with two safeties, but you can also roll with a third one and make him sort of the extra guy in the box. He absolutely, his ball skills in terms of tackling and playing downhill are are one of his strengths. And I think learning at the Big Ten, you know, level at the, you know, full FBS level, how to be a sort of deep safety will be his learning curve, but playing down in the box downhill is his natural strength.
And Andy, there was one more commit, and I'm not sure Penn State fans or even Penn State themselves felt particularly confident about this. An offensive lineman by the name of Vega Ione, who's coming from the state of Washington. He had been committed to Washington. Washington made a change in coaches, so he kind of opened up his recruiting, but was still considering going to Washington. And candidly, I thought, you know, when you have a guy who maybe it's a toss-up and his choice is to stay, he's from Washington, I would have thought the home team area would have had the advantage. But he chose Penn State, which is a good thing, as we talked about. They're short on numbers at the offensive line.
They're short in numbers in the recruiting class a little bit, and they're definitely short on numbers in the offensive line room in terms of the depth chart. So any offensive lineman is a good thing. This one is interesting because it happened so fast. So when you think about, you put some of the things together, you're like, okay, the guy decommits from Washington, he's from the Northwest. What the heck is he going to want to jump all of those schools and all those miles for Penn State? I mean, he's 6'4", 330 pounds, and he's an offensive lineman, which gives Penn State four of them. He decommitted. Penn State offered him. He came on a visit, and it was, you know, like Smith. He's still – Penn State still has a lot of work to do to I think, with the transfer portal and the way everything works out. To keep a guy from as far away as Washington, who nearly stayed at Washington, but getting any offensive lineman, whether it's transfer portal, the 25th recruit in your 2022 recruiting class, giving a guy a walk-on, a preferred walk-on status, offensive lineman, bodies in the room. To me, this is sort of the late dark horse sort of crowning achievement of this recruiting class, because it's such a position of need, and they're still going to be in the transfer portal shopping, and that's going to happen, but adding another guy to develop in that room is just a win-win for Penn State at this point with where they are in terms of the offensive line.
Okay, just so there's no confusion, Ione's not a preferred walk-on.
No, he's scholarship.
A scholarship player. They did get another preferred walk-on. But one of the great quotes, and I really enjoyed this, you mentioned he's 6 foot.
Four.
I saw one place he's listed 320, another place 6'4", 320, 330, whatever he is, and would ask about his visit to Penn State. He said it was a great visit. There was a whole lot of food. And they have been feeding us well. So I guess when you're 6'4", 330, being fed well is an important part of how you make your and where you make your commitment, Andrew. With the signing period, this also meant that James Franklin met the media, and he did that earlier this week. And it's one of those, again, you have to read the tea leaves when James Franklin talks, know exactly where he's headed or what he's looking for. And I was most fascinated by the conversation about name, image, and likeness. And it sounds, again, like he's talking about facilities.
Correct.
We're not where we want to be. We got to be better. We got to do more. If we're going to keep up with the Joneses, we've got to do more. And he used the term, we need to be bold and aggressive, and we're not there yet. This sounds a lot like James Franklin is not just talking to the media, he's talking to the alumni, he's talking to the university, he's talking to everybody who might have a chance to be involved in name, image, and likeness.
Yeah, he's not talking to the fan base when it comes to this. He's talking to those inside the building about what he knows and sees from the outside in terms of name, image, and likeness, and how other universities are handling it. And in that instance, the way it looks, he is right. I always think that it's tough for Penn State. The name, image, and likeness might be a little tough for Penn State because of geography, right? That's just going to be a little bit of a tough thing. But James is right. That doesn't mean you just sit on your laurels and fall behind. The other schools are, there's certain rules under the name, image, and likeness. It's you know, the player can do what they want on their behalf. There are certain rules that the university can only reach, can only do this much, can only do this or that. There are no rules for outside entities, you know, assisting these players with their name, image, and likeness and helping them that are not university affiliated. And I think, I'm pretty sure, and I think you agree, that this is what James is talking about. Like, we need another arm of this to help with the name, image, and likeness across the board. Not only for the players that are here, but as part of recruiting. It's part of recruiting now at the schools that are doing it well. Would you agree with that, Jimmy, that it's part of the recruiting thing?
It is, and I believe most schools are geared to talk about it. The difference is the schools that have gotten aggressive. Now, you know, we've always joked in the Southeast Conference, the old saying, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Right.
And now it's not necessarily cheating, but the name, image, and likeness rules are so vague, so gray, there's very little the NCAA can do or is willing to do to police it. So you have groups like the Texas A&M, who was always a good football program, but they always had a lot of money to spend, and you saw they did it a few years ago, paying the head coach that they wanted.
Right, Jimbo.
Now their alumni group got together, pooled their money, and targeted that recruiting class, and lo and behold, they have the number one recruiting class in the country this year. So this is a major factor, and it's going to play into how well your team can compete, Andy.
Yeah, and James, what is James's strength as a head coach and, you know, CEO of the Penn State football program? His clear-cut identifiable strength is recruiting, and the reason, you know, reading the tea leaves, like you said, the reason he brought this up yesterday is this is part of recruiting, and it's something that he can't control. He cannot control this from the university inside. That has to be, you know, inside the football program, but not inside the university. It has to be done from there. And he's saying, this is something we're short on. This is something we need to be better at. We're behind. We're playing catch up. And we need to be aggressive about this because he handles everything recruiting, and he's a recruiting guy. So this is why he brought it up. And he's not wrong.
And what he now needs to do is recruit the wealthy alumni groups and see if they can get together and provide some of that money for the name, image, and likeness to bring more players in. Andy, that's it for quarter number one. Ross Tucker will be in for quarter number two. Stick around for that.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.